Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. Our back in our Father's Word, Book of Ezekiel, El strengthens us. God strengthens us. That's the only true strength there is, beloved. Remember that always. Our Father from chapter 24 through 32 in this book of Ezekiel told us of the Babylonian War, which means Satan's coming as the king of Babylon in the end times. It's going to happen in and to this generation, according to the parable of the fig tree. So you want to be prepared for that. Then in the last lecture, we covered chapter 33, lacking two verses, which God said, I'm setting out watchmen. This is what you're supposed to watch for. And then when we come to the 34th chapter, which we're going to cover today, mostly, then he's going to tell you what to watch out for. So having said that, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you are one of those watchmen. You know he's coming and you know you're going to witness against him with the Holy Spirit doing the talking. How precious it is and what a time to live. A word of wisdom from our Father, we ask it in Yeshua's name. Chapter 33, let's pick it up with verse 32 and finish the chapter of the watchmen. And verse 32 reads, And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice. The truth always sounds good. And can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And this is the way many people are. They love to hear, but they can't do. They won't do. And if you want God's blessings, you're going to be a doer. That's what pleases him. Verse 33 to complete the chapter. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. You can count on it. The false one's coming. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Then they will know that you knew what you were talking about before the event came to pass. That's what a prophet is one that knows the events. And to teach the prophets, or what the prophets teach, is the Word of God. And the Word of God foretells us all things if you'll just take a little time and listen to our Father speak. Now, we come to chapter 34, and it's a very interesting chapter. This is what you're supposed to watch out for, okay? Verses 1 through 16 is to the false shepherds. That's fake preachers, preachers that don't take care of the sheep. If anything, they rip them off. And verses 17 through 22 is the false flock. That is to say, the leaders of the flock. Political and deacons otherwise. Fakes. And then 23 through 30, it's the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this particular chapter. These are the things you look out for. Chapter 34, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, To son of man, prophesy against, not for, against the shepherds, the preachers of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? I mean, this, you know, a shepherd tends sheep. A shepherd always provides pasture. That's why pastors are called pastor, because they're supposed to provide pasture for the sheep. That means to feed them. And you know something? Nature itself is always one of the best teachers there is. If you've ever had any experience in agriculture, I don't care if it's sheep or cattle. If you feed them, if you have a regular feeding place and you feed them, they will be there. It's the same way with people. Your church won't dry up if you'll feed them. Well, what do I feed them? Amos chapter 8, verse 13. The famine in the end times is not for bread, but for hearing the word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Feed them, and they will come. Verse 3, talking again to the fake preachers. Verse 3, you eat the fat that belongs to God. You don't touch it. And you clothe you with the wool. You shave them down till they don't have anything left. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. You take my sacrifices and you consume them all yourself. And But when it comes to feeding the flock, the word of God, you don't turn a tap. Verse 4. The diseased have ye not strengthened. You didn't take care of them. Neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And so it is. You don't give them a break. You know, you might say, well, he's a nice man. If he does not teach you the word of God, he's robbing you blind. If he does not teach you the word of God, it's playing dangerously with your soul. Because as we learned in those 9 chapters from 24 through 32, the false Christ is coming. And he's going to come before the Lord Jesus Christ does. If your preacher doesn't teach that, he's harming you tremendously. He's setting you up whereby you could actually, instead of worshiping Christ, worship Satan. That's how serious it is. Well, how serious is that? Well, if you worship Satan, you're going to hell. How's that? So it's very important that don't let somebody rip you off. If you go to a place and God's word isn't taught chapter by chapter and verse by verse, you need to study yourself, okay, to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of God. Verse 5, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd. They were without a shepherd, basically, a teacher. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. I mean, they became lost. God has never lost anyone. The 10 tribes that went north, some of them were lost. But without a shepherd to feed them. To talk about the migrations, but the blessings even with Christ, the true shepherd, which we will find in the 23rd and 24th verses of this same chapter, whomsoever will. Verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains, that's nations, and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search nor seek after them. And it is true, the real truth of who God's, the house of Israel, the house of Judah, and the other nations, which we have studied in this, God doesn't leave anyone out. All nations are there. We covered every nation there is in those chapters 24 through 32. God loves all of his children. But God is against preachers, teachers, priests, shepherds, so-called, that do not feed the word of God to the children. He doesn't like it. You can't blame him. 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what's going to happen. 8. As I live, saith the Lord God, swearing by himself, surely because my flock become a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. This is a ministry here. We don't really care about teaching God's word chapter by chapter, but I do want all of you to send. I'm mimicking now. Don't you think I'm saying this? All of you, if you want a blessing from God, send a $1,000 bill here to us. There's no such thing anymore, but be that as it may. Rip-off artists. I mean, they shear those sheep right down to where it hurts. They beg. And God, listen to me, it's real easy to spot them. God, as he would teach through the Son in the New Testament, when he said, don't take script and don't take a purse, that means a begging bag. Don't you dare be representing my name and get out there and start begging. Why? Well, if you're teaching God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, if you're feeding, you don't have to beg. You will never hear anyone beg, and you will never hear any so-called money-raising program on this network, SCN. Why? Because we don't have to beg. Why? Because we feed the sheep. And people are wise enough to appreciate that enough that they keep us coming to them. Thank God for that. You've got to feed the sheep. Feed them and they will come. But they do need to hear the Word of God, and God insists on it. Christ became the living Word, and the Word became flesh and walked among us. John chapter 1, verse 9. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 10. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth. That's from the lies that come from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Do you know what he's talking about here? You read it before we started, the nine chapters that tell for sure that the Antichrist is coming. He warned you what to be careful of. And he told you plainly. He said, these false teachers, even daughters of my own people, sew kerchiefs that cover every knuckle, every index, every digit of my outreached saving arms, where you can't see the true salvation. Instead of seeing the salvation, the hands of Almighty God, what did they do? Verse 19, and will you pollute me among my people? This is chapter 13, same book. This is what he warned us about. For barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to my people that hear your lies. Verse 20, this is the false teaching. Listen to it. Because thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows. That's covering my saving hands. Wherewith you there hunt the souls to make them fly with your rapture doctrine. And I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. God is returning to this earth, and he expects his true children to have on the gospel armor and to stand against the fiery darts of Satan when that false Christ appears. How precious it is. Is it any wonder that he's upset at his shepherds when they're even telling people, you don't have to understand the Word of God. You don't need to understand the book of Revelation. You're going to fly out of here. That's false. That is not biblical. And God will revenge that. You know, I'm glad that judgment starts at the pulpit. Because every time a man sets himself up as a preacher or a teacher, man or woman, doesn't matter, and you are deliberately or in ignorance misleading people by not doing your homework, you're going to answer for every sin those people commit on Judgment Day, because you are the one that misled them. It's a pretty serious thing. You want to think about it. Now, returning to chapter 34, next verse, we pick it up with verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, emphasis, will both search my sheep and seek them out. I'll find them. I know where they are. I haven't lost them. 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day, the time of Satan and heathenism that comes upon the world, false teaching, straight from Babylon. 13. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. In other words, the unwalled cities that I have set aside. I'm glad we have this great free nation. God provided it. It's no accident that we're the superpower of superpowers. In God we trust. 14. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. That's where they're going to graze. There shall they lie in a good fold. That means they've got peace. And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. God said, I will feed them. And you know something? He feeds us very well from His Word if you'll only take the time to cover it, to absorb it, to hear it, to let it sink in, to meditate upon it. That's the word meditation comes from a cow bringing the cud up and chewing it over and over and over. Meditation, meditation, meditation on the Word of God, the will of God, the wishes of God. To do that, to better yourself, no, but to please God as well as bettering yourself. 15, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. In other words, when a flock can lie down, they're at peace. They know there's no danger. They know that they're safe from harm. And that's what our Father's Word does for you. Well, how could we exercise that today? Well, it's real simple. If you've ever read Luke chapter 10, verse 19, He gives us power over all of our enemies and evil spirits, demonics, in Christ's name. They run from you. And you can stay anywhere you wish as long as you use common sense and be safe, knowing God loves you and that you have power over the enemy. Don't ever let them snow you, okay? And never be afraid to exercise power that God gives you. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. I'm going to give them everything they've got coming to them. Now, what our Father is saying here, those that weren't fed, those that were lied to, you know when this happens, it's the millennium. A lot of people said, well, you just stop right there, brother. You're teaching a second chance. They did with what's taught by these fake shepherds. They haven't got a prayer coming out the gate. They're going to be deceived when Satan comes saying, I'm the Lord Jesus Christ and I've come to rapture you away. They're going to jump in his buggy. Okay, they're loaded and locked for it. They're taught it year in, year out. Unfortunately, it's not biblical. And do you know something? Our Father doesn't like it. Our Father sends watchmen to take the real Word of God and to teach it, especially in this generation. Hear the word of the Lord. He will feed them with judgment, means they're going to get everything they got coming to them all at one time. 17, and as for, and here we start, that ends the first 16 verses of the false shepherds. Now we come to the so-called leaders, are the false sheep, those that set themselves up politically and or otherwise, and try to rip off the sheep. Listen to it. 17 through 22, we'll have this report. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle. I know your thoughts. Between the rams and the he-goats. And of course, he-goats are those that are in charge, basically, prancing here and prancing there. You might say the so-called leaders of the people, not the preachers, politically and otherwise. 18, seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. When you go through, you muddy stuff up so bad that the average person, the working person, can't get a decent bite out of it. And when it comes to water, you get in there and stir up with your feet the mud and the filth until they can not get a decent drink. Well, what is he saying here? They don't care about the people. The so-called political leaders and otherwise, in large part, not all, we don't judge all of anything. But you know, I don't have to tell you, you know who's doing this. You know who it is that muddies the water. You know who it is that prevents many times, and through greed. that they stomp on and walk on people to get ahead. Verse 19. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. That's all they've got. Instead of having the Word of God taught to them chapter by chapter and verse by verse, all they get is a bunch of malarkey of men's imagination, traditions of men that make void the Word of God. Verse 20, therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, for emphasis, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. I know your thoughts. I know those scrawny cattle that have been mistreated. Going to be a day of change coming. Verse 21, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns. No mercy till you have scattered them abroad. No sympathy, no compassion whatsoever. Every sign that one of God's elect has is compassion for each other. You don't show any sign of it. Verse 22, to finish the false sheep. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between the cattle and cattle. You're going to get what you got coming to you. You know, God is always fair. He even knows what you're thinking. You can't hide anything from Him. Don't try to take advantage of His sheep. I mean, you be fair, God is fair. And sometimes tough love can seem like unfairness within itself. When it's called for, dish it out. It's necessary to keep peace. And so He does with these goats, these he-goats, that likes to kick up trouble. He'll take care of it. Now, verse 23, we come to the true shepherd. And how blessed that is, that we've really got Him, God's elect have Him all the time. But this is what you watch out for. This is what the watchman was set on edge for. This is how you determine, with knowledge and information concerning the true shepherd. Verse 22. Therefore will I save my flock, and will no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. We got that. 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. In other words, naturally, we're talking here about the Lord Jesus Christ through the lineage of David. Out of the stem of Jesse, he would come. And this is our promise. This is our hope. And our Heavenly Father so loves His children that He doesn't like to see them wooled around. He doesn't like to see them ripped off. And don't ever think for a moment He doesn't know. He certainly does. Whom He blesses, and whom He curses. He allows Satan to work them over real good. Verse 24, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I want you to make a mental note, because when we get to chapter 46, verse 1, I'm going to quiz you about this. Who is the prince spoken of here? You want to remember, David, a man after God's own heart. Little old David, though he did badly wrong in a few places, God still used him. Through him would come that seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, when we get to 46, 1, I'm going to test your memory about the prince. Verse 25. And I will make with them a covenant of peace. Not of war, not of Babel, of peace. And will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. You know, many times that's unsafe. I'm going to fix it so that you can sleep anywhere and rest quite easy. It's going to be just fine. I'm going to take care of it. You know something? I believe that with all my heart. And I know that that day is coming. I know right now, if you have eyes to see, and if you're a watchman, God already is covering you whereby when you utilize common sense, learn from the Word of God, adhering to His promises and not only being a hearer but a doer, he sees to it. Verse 26, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. That's even the adjoining villages. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessings. Not only the shower that sprouts the embryo in the ground, but the shower of the latter day rain that brings full knowledge and full flavor to the fruit that the very plant produces. It's going to be plenty of everything, but mostly plenty of our Heavenly Father's truth instead of lies, deception, and having to decipher one from the other, weighing, well, is this person real or not? You don't ever want to worry too much about persons. Worry about the Word. Don't worry about it, but cover the Word of God, and then you'll know who to trust. There won't be any doubt about it. Verse 27. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. Has that come to pass yet? You know very well it has not. You know that that is future, but it's going to come to pass. And our Heavenly Father is very much in control. How precious it is to have His Word, His command, and to know that He is in charge, that He is in control. And you are safe, served of themselves of them. In other words, no more false shepherds, no more false teachers, no more rip-off artists, no more people lying to God's children to mislead them. You know, this is something you want to be real careful of. A good psychologist can talk a mean battle and even be against Christianity and yet make people feel good by knowing how to play on the strings of their heart through psychology. But that doesn't make it true. You can pretty well tell by this. You know, you'll have people that'll walk out of churches and they'll say, oh my, wasn't that a wonderful service? Like, well, what did you learn? It was just wonderful. I just feel good. No, what did you learn from God's Word? Well, I didn't learn anything. Case made. What are you learning? What did you get from it other than feel good? That's what you want to think about. You want to take away truth, knowledge, and understanding, knowing that Almighty God is in control right today. And that if you love Him and you're a doer of His Word, He's going to bless you. You can count on it. So you want to beware and be watchful for those that like to play church and feel good little people, little church next door. You know, if the little church next door teaches God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, fantastic, support it. If it doesn't, then you're in danger going there. Well, oh brother, are you going against... No, that's not against Christianity. That's against false teachers. Verse 28. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen teachers, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. This word heathen here is a word you need to know. It's goy. The goy are the Kenites. Okay. Don't ever let anyone tell you any different. They're a small people that really come strong up with the false Messiah. And they're none other than his own children, the goy. Many people that understand languages like to kind of twist that around. And if you're not careful, they'll be calling you a goy. You're not a Kenite if you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you were born a Kenite and you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a child of God, not a goy. So Don't be ignorant concerning God's Word. It doesn't take you long to check that Word out in your Strong's Concordance and grow familiar with it. And from the book of Daniel, who does it say that the Antichrist becomes strong with a small people? Who is that small people? The Goy, which is none other than the Kenite. So I throw that in because God's Word is so precious. When you teach it with understanding, verse 29 to continue. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the Goy, the heathen, anymore. The Kenites are not going to bother him anymore. What is that? What is that plant of renown? It's the vine. It's Christ. And you are the branches that fit into that vine. And God is the pruner. You know that from the New Testament. He prunes off everything that doesn't make fruit. That's just common horticulture. And our Father loves His children. Verse 30, thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. How can you know that in a successful ministry that doesn't have to beg and strengthens the watchman to be prepared for that is before us, teaching the events that consummate the end of this age where you are not caught asleep on watch? It's a terrible thing for a watchman to go to sleep on watch when other people are depending on him or her to keep the warning coming, even as they sleep. One more verse to complete the chapter, verse 31. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, God speaking, are men, Adam, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. End of story. That's the way it is. Our Father loves His children. He doesn't hide anything from us. It's there for the taking, the absorbing, the understanding, even down to the consummation of the end of this age. Be a watchman and be not deceived. Father has blessed us with a mighty, mighty platform. Use it. Enjoy it. But thank God for it. All right, don't miss the next lecture. Bless your hearts. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We do not judge people. You know why? Because our Father is the judge. You stay out of His business and let Him do the judging. You do discern, though. You discern who you should follow and who you should not, who you fellowship with, who you should not. That is a gift from God to be able, when you study His Word, to know and ascertain that without any problem. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you and your announcer. At the end of the hour, we'll give you our mailing address. Got a prayer request? You don't need the number. We can do away with it. We can do away with the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. He does. He loves you. You may not love what you're doing, but He expects that love to be returned. Let Him know you love Him. Once you do that, it pays great dividends. It opens the world up for you, the Word, the truth. Tell him you love him. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, question time. And we got Michael from Texas. Does God listen to the prayer of a sinner? God hears all prayers. As a matter of fact, in the great book of Revelation, it says that all those prayers are in a bottle, that God keeps them there. Doesn't mean he's going to answer it, because you may not deserve it. But God knows what you have need of before you ever even ask. What? You're his child. He made you different than anyone else. And because he wanted someone just like you. But if you want your prayers answered, then you will love him enough that you will ask in the name of Jesus Christ. And you will trust him enough to know if it's something you're supposed to have, he's going to get it for you. But if it's something that goes against his plan, probably you're not. And God always knows what is best for you. Vanessa from Michigan. Have you ever had to decide whether to pay a bill or pay God? And if so, what did you do? I struggle with this. What should I do? Always pay your bills, dear. Okay. You know, you only tithe on what you have left over. And until you get your bills paid, you don't have anything left over. If you feel maybe like a little bitty small love offering, but pay your bills. That keeps, you know, that protects your credibility. It keeps you being a good citizen in your community. A person that won't pay their bills doesn't have a good reputation in the community. And probably as far as the seed planter is concerned, they're not going to listen to you too well. So always protect that credibility. But it is a right thing to pay your bill. God knows and understands. And he always takes care of that, all right? And I'm assuming probably you're on a fixed income. And many times people have drug bills for aches, pains they have of some form or the other, plus food. Don't ever do without food to give money to some church. Okay. That's not right. And when you're on a fixed income like that, not right at all. And don't you ever get on a guilt trip over it. And Richard from New Hampshire, if Scotha was the daughter of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, it is further evidence that members of the house of Judah had also migrated northward, not just the 10 tribes of Israel. Yeah, but we know how Scotha got north. Okay. As we were covering in this very book, it said, Kazah El Ben Yehuda in the Hebrew manuscripts. This is to say the daughters of Jerusalem, of Judah rather, as Jeremiah brought them through that area and took them north into, and Scotha would become Scotland. Okay. God doesn't let us down. Okay. The king line has always been there, and it will be there when Christ returns to take it over again. Faye from Georgia. And let me get the question here. Where do we go? In Thessalonians 4:14, explain the words, even them which sleep in Christ Jesus will God bring with him. Who is this them? It was explained to me that them is the people who are dead and in heaven with Jesus. Well, that's exactly what it is. That's why a little further on in that same chapter, in verse 16 and 17, it will say there's no way that we who are alive and remain can precede those that are dead. They're first. Why? They're already gone. They're out of here. They're with him. God is not the God of the dead. Not even Satan has died. To be absent from this body is to be present with God in heaven, and so it is. Debbie from Ohio. I wish I had more. You're doing good. We have listened to him teach for over 20 years, and if I miss a morning study, thank you for that comment. Here's our question. Since this is the only church I attend, I would like to baptize my grandchildren in God's name. What Bible verses would I use to do this? My granddaughter is 14 years old, and she wants this so much. Please help. It's real simple. All you do is you say, You see, the word baptize comes from the etymology of the word dye. To, like, you've got a piece of white cloth and you want to dye it red. You form a red dye, as they did then, from crimson worms of one form or the other, of one method. But the point is, you've got to dip it all the way under. That's what the word baptism means. And then you take it out, and instead of white, it's red. Okay, so that explaining what the word baptism means. But you simply baptize in the name of our Heavenly Father. If you wish to use the sacred names, that's better yet. I baptize you in the name of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, Yahshua, Jesus, the Savior and Son of God, and the Holy Spirit. And then you take them, you baptize them under the water and out. They are baptized. Any Christian can baptize another Christian. Now, let me tell you, a lot of churches will not recognize that, but Christ will. And that's what's important, okay? Joe from Pennsylvania, Genesis 6:4, and they bare children to them, and some became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Does this mean that the hybrids had memory of the first earth age? Well, the hybrids could, if they received it of their father, the Nephilim, the fallen angel, because the fallen angels had every memory of the first earth age. Why? They came from there. They refused to be born of woman. And as it is written, you might make a note of Jude verses 1 through 6. Their sin and why they're in chains to be destroyed is they left their first habitation, which means they left heaven and came to earth not to be born of woman, but to seduce them. Okay, so naturally they knew. And that's why God brought about the flood of Noah, because that did away with the innocency which he wanted his children born innocent of woman without pre-knowledge to make his or her mind up whether you'll love God or Satan. Bob from Connecticut. As you say, that he has given us the to read and to study, not my question. What was meant in 1 Timothy 4:4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused? Is this verse saying all creatures, man? Or no, it's not saying that at all. Okay, what's the subject? The subject is don't let someone judge you in marriage, and don't let someone judge you in food, what you eat. For God, as it would say in verse 3, let's back up from your fourth verse to the third verse. For God refused not that God created to be received. Now, he did not create scavengers to be received. Leviticus chapter 11 makes that very clear. It'll make you sick and disease. And all animals of God's are good. Why? Well, you want to be thankful for even the scavengers, not to eat them. You got to do things as God promoted it and told us. They are to keep disease off the earth. They're to eat dead things that you're not supposed to cleanse the earth. But then you don't eat them after they've eaten dead things. They're scavengers, okay? You don't partake of them to eat, but yet it's a good animal. God created them, because we need them. Edward from Tennessee, could you please give me some scripture about the rapture? I do understand that it is not in the Bible, but I have been taught this all my life. Isn't that a sad situation? Edward, it is too bad that people teach something that is not in the Word of God and pass it off as your way out. That's covering God's real, true, saving hands with false teaching. The word rapture is not in the Bible. And what it means is we're going to reach God and at the seventh trump, and not until the sixth trump, the false Christ comes, and you're going to stand against him. Do you know what the false Christ is going to be saying? I've come to fly you away. We covered that in today's lecture, excuse me, from chapter 13, the book of Ezekiel. God's against that. So why would anyone want to teach it if God's against it? That I do not understand. But I guess it makes an easy way out and gives more time to beat money out of people, I guess, give them a security blanket to run around with and hold over their heart when it's fake. That's a sad state of affairs, and I apologize that that's all you've ever been taught. I'm glad you're listening to this ministry, because you've probably heard a great deal today that perhaps will help you out. James from Ohio. I have a question. It involves the persons in Genesis named Enoch. Written in my version of the Bible, it reads 5:24, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. My question being, he was not what? The second question being, did God strike him dead? No, God did not strike him dead. God transfigured him. He was too good for this earth age, and God took him. I want you to make a note. Jude, the 14th verse. There's only one chapter, so you can't go wrong. Jude, the 14th verse. And it tells you why Enoch was translated. For Enoch was a prophet, a teacher of what was going on with these fallen angels destroying the daughters of Adam. The daughters of Adam, whereby Noah's family was the only family that still had a perfect generation, meaning that had not intermixed with these hybrids and fallen angels. And there were Geba, that word is what that word means, is Geba, giants. And God destroyed them. Good for our father. Ruth from Pennsylvania, what should we do if we get picked for... I love the way you teach the Bible. I have a question. You always say we are not to judge. What should we do if we get picked for jury duty? That's a duty you want to perform. That's not judging. That is the law of our land and the common law from Father's Word. It's witnesses hearing the witness, and on hearing the witness, making a decision, and that's as God would have it. Okay, that's not judging someone. That is taking someone that has been found guilty or whether you're going to decide whether they're innocent or guilty when you hear the facts. And good, honest Christian people, it's good for them to be on a jury where that people get a fair shake. If they deserve to be hung, hang them. If they deserve to be innocent and let go, let them go. Christians do what God demands as God's word is. Pastor Murray. When saying the Lord's Prayer, should we say, forgive us our debts or our trespasses? Does it matter which? It doesn't really matter, but trespasses would almost be better. But I want to say that was Christ only giving us an example of how you should pray. And in other words, you pray to the Father God in heaven. Don't pray to Jesus. Okay. You pray to Almighty God, our Father, whom art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And someday it will. That's why we pray that. Heaven will be right here on earth as it is written in Revelation chapter 21. But that is only an example. When you pray to the Father, talk to him from the heart. Don't read something that is written. Talk to him like you would somebody you love. For you do love him. You don't have to have somebody write a speech for you to talk to your Heavenly Father. Just communicate with him. Communicate. If you have sins that need to be forgiven, then naturally ask him to forgive your trespasses or sins. And so it is. Nick from Ohio. Thank you for continuing to bless me with this ministry. You're welcome. I hear you talk about the tribe of Judah and the 10 tribes of Israel migrating north, but wasn't there 12 tribes? What happened to the 12th tribe? Did God whack them out of existence? No. There were 10 northern tribes and 2 southern tribes. The 2 southern tribes were with Judah being one of them. And the other 10 north, the Assyrian took captive in about 600 BC, And Judah and the other tribe were not taken captive until about 400 B.C., 200 years later. Alice from California, I have a question in the Bible. The whole scripture says we should not take the mark of the beast in or on the forehead or in the hand. You do not talk about the hand, only the forehead. Well, we when we're talking about it, we talk about the hand also. It means to do his work. Maybe you could get a better idea from it in Mark 13 where he says, woe with those that are a child when I return and giving suck. That's the same as receiving the mark. It is a spiritual pregnancy, not an actual pregnancy. And nursing it along means nursing Satan's work along. Just like when you work for Satan, helping his church, he's going to start a church. He's not starting a prison camp. He's not starting a war. He comes in peacefully and prosperously, and he starts a church. It's probably one of the greatest revivals this world will ever know, other than the actual one. Converting people and having them come to him. But he's slick, okay? And that's how it goes down. But you've always got people that like to help the church. And unfortunately, if they are deceived as to who the true Christ is and they follow the fake, that's where they end up. Please, Dave from Virginia, please explain what? Explain what here? But in reading Ezekiel in Revelation, it appears that we will be on this earth for all of eternity. And you're confused about where heaven is. Heaven's going to be right here on earth. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, this earth is rejuvenated. I know it's translated the word new, a new earth. It's rejuvenated. It's put back to the condition it was in the first earth age. It was beautiful. I mean, you've heard me say that we found mammoth with buttercups in their mouth in the tundra, under the tundra, frozen in Alaska. Buttercups don't grow in Alaska now. They did then. And it was clear and farmable all the way to the North Pole and the South. This is a beautiful place. I mean, you might take a look around sometimes now that we have high tech and we've got satellites up in the air and people take pictures of the moon and Mars. And how would you like to be on one of those places? And then you have a picture of this beautiful planet Earth that God created for us and himself. And as you studied in the 16th chapter of Ezekiel, God made an eternal, everlasting covenant with Jerusalem. He took her to wife. He wed her, geographically speaking, and that's where his kingdom will be. It is his most favorite place in the universe, including the earth, there on Mount Zion. And that's where it'll be. That's as it should be. Heaven is wherever God is. God's going to be here, and we're going to be with him, if you make it. Rodney from Ohio, am I wrong to believe that God's word should not be for sale? So many preachers, all they do is sell books and items. And so many prosperity preachers say you cannot be blessed of God without sending $1,000 or you will never be a true Christian. I know that some things are necessary to reach the mass population with God's word, but it seems to have become just a show and not God's word. Help me to understand. Thank you. Don't listen to a beggar. Okay. Absolutely, do not ever listen to a beggar. Why? Well, God didn't send them. Okay. Christ made it very clear when he sent out the 70, and when he was even teaching the disciples how to go out, don't take script or a purse. That means don't take a begging bag with you. That's what the Greek word means. Don't beg. Why? If God's word is true and real, you don't have to. God will bless it. People will hear the truth. And they will support that work, and you don't have to say a word. That's just the way it is. That's how you tell. If somebody's begging for money, hey, they're getting to you. They're disobeying God if they're begging for money. Okay? That's kind of sad maybe, but And this is what makes me so popular among certain preachers. But that's fine. I'm still very popular with the Father. He always blesses this ministry where we don't have to beg. And I love him for that. Nora from Oklahoma. Where did the Christian flag come from? Our people have always been a people of flags. Like in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 1, we had the face of the ox and the eagle and so forth. Those are flags of tribes. But having a standard with Christ being our main standard, but through camping, that Christian flag has been wherever there's going to be a Christian meeting. In the military today, if it's a day that we're going to have a church, that Christian flag is going to be flying. And the reason it flies here, that's this white flag with the cross on it, is we're going to have church here and right now. All right, but most of all, I'm out of time right here and right now, and I say I love you because you enjoy studying God's Word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, but most of all, God loves you for it. Hey, makes His day. And when you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. You can count on it. And we are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us. Only if we've helped you, help us keep coming to you. Bless God, He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me, you listen good. You stay in His Word. Hey, every day in His Word, even with trouble, it's still a good day. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on...